Kettner, who joins us at the top. She's our insider. She's inside the Beltway. Talk radio news, always all over everything. She's from a flyover state where I went to school. She's from the great state of Ohio. She did them proud. Ellen, thanks, as always, for joining us right at the top.
Well, thank you. It is the great state of Ohio. I'm glad you recognize it.
Yeah, that's right. Here's the question I always got, though. What's a Buckeye? I know, but a lot of people don't.
Well, a Buckeye is, it looks like a chestnut, but it's a special kind of tree that produces Buckeyes instead of chestnuts.
There you go. A lot of things happening in Washington. We're going to get into Egypt in a second, but before we do that, because that's, of course, the big explosive story, but before we go there, Congresswoman Giffords, there was a prayer breakfast for her, and it's interesting because often President Obama's Christianity is called into question, and in a subtle way, I think he addressed this with the whole prayer breakfast thing. What do you think he did?
Well, he basically said that his Christian faith has sustained him and his wife, and even more so when they hear their faith questioned.
Yeah, so that puts it to rest, I would think, but maybe not.
Yeah, so I think he took a swift hit at it.
Yeah, there you go. We'll see what the callers have to say a little bit later. All right, let's jump into Egypt. Mubarak saying Obama doesn't really understand the Egyptian culture. That was one thing. And, of course, the other report about the journalist like Anderson Cooper getting hit over the head and another reporter getting beat up, all kinds of stories about people being detained.
It's really interesting. The Fox reporter, Anderson Cooper, those are obviously ones that come to mind. But there was a Swedish reporter who they took away, and when their cell phone was called, was answered in Arabic, why don't you whores, is what they actually said, come and get this person. Well, apparently he did get gotten, and he had several stab wounds in his stomach, and he's in the hospital.
Wow. Yeah, it's crazy.
And
when you're...
Al-Hurra, which is a part of Voice of America, so our propaganda machine, they've had death threats. As you know, two Washington Post reporters were detained for a while. It's not a pretty picture over there.
Yeah. I don't know that people realize that, but I would think back a couple of years ago, of course, if I had gone to Egypt to cover something, and this is different because we're talking about the end of a government or government regime change and a kind of a revolt, obviously, in the streets, I would have felt secure, to be honest. I've traveled to the Middle East, and I wouldn't have worried about Egypt, but obviously these are different times, right?
These are very, very different times, and I'm supposed to be going to Egypt around the 12th of June. We'll see what happens with that and whether I sort of decide to continue on the trip. I can say if it's the least bit safe, at least it'll be cheap.
Yeah, that's true. It will be cheap. Let's talk about the Republicans and their budget. They're slashing and looking at ways to cut. I read a big figure today. What was it, $32 billion or something that they were talking about?
The Republican Conference, which is essentially the more conservative Republicans, have asked for $100 billion this year. Eric Cantor and the other Republicans who are in charge of the budget, more mainstream people, are coming up with about $60 billion. So my guess is that it will probably be around $60 billion that they are going to try and slash, and it will have to be a negotiation with the president's budget. It comes out in about 10 days.
Wow, $60 billion. That means a lot of government jobs and programs.
And that's $60 billion coming from the discretionary budget, which is $1.3 trillion if you take around $650-700 billion for defense, maybe a little more if you include some of the other agencies that deal with security. And you say you're taking that off the table, so then you what, have $550 billion, and then you slash 60 off that. I mean, that's more than 15% of what's discretionary spending. That's a big hit.
Yeah, that is a big hit. This might be a big shocker. A report today comes out after, you know, it's been long awaited, certainly months and months and months, even longer than that. We were out there covering Fort Hood, but now they're saying the FBI and the Army ignored warning signs that could have prevented that massacre in November of 2009 at the hands of, allegedly, Major Hassan. There had to be some reaction to that on the Hill.
There was a report released today by Lieberman Collins, Homeland Security Committee, as you know. They're very bipartisan on that committee, and they released a report, and basically they said that there was notification. I mean, it's pretty outrageous. They said it could have been prevented. The Department of Defense and the FBI had sufficient information to detect the radicalization, that there was his associates referred to Hassan as a ticking time bomb and our worst, and that he had justified suicide bombers. Commanders claimed to have not taken action based on a belief that Hassan's radicalization was reflective of them trying to understand Islamist extremism. There was a report made to the Joint Terrorist Task Force on his associations with known terrorists, and they apparently did not give it high priority.
Ooh, wow. We'll definitely be talking about that. Ellen Ratner, Talk Radio News, thanks so much. All right, and picking up on something that we were drawing about there with Ellen, one of the big stories, of course, coming out of Egypt is the fact that the people trying to cover the news are getting clubbed. And no joke, she mentioned some of it, but the news outlets were the BBC, ABC News, the Washington Post, Fox News, Al Jazeera, CNN, some Greek journalists also supposedly were roughed up. And there's actually, and I didn't realize this, but there's actually a group called the Committee to Protect Journalists, and they said that they've got about 24 detentions, 21 assaults, and 5 instances of equipment that was taken, ripped away from these news crews in the past 24 hours. Even a very popular Egyptian blogger was beaten up. So the access to information will get much tougher as this continues to go on, and it's going to be limited. News channels already have curbed really their coverage of what's happening in the streets, in the square in Cairo, showing really pretty much file footage of the protests and actually cutting out some of the intensity, the amount that they were covering as well. You know, they were going in different locations and all that sort of stuff. Well, it's too dangerous. It's much too dangerous. I know we have people listening to us in Sweden, and Bert Sundström, who was a correspondent for Sweden's SVT TV, was found in a Cairo hospital. He was severely beaten. You know, not just a couple of punches to the stomach. I mean, he was beaten almost to death. They thought he was kidnapped. He was missing, and he turned up in a hospital bed. Fox said that they had a reporter and a cameraman that had to leave because somebody threw a Molotov cocktail in their direction right at them. And then they ran into some pro-Mubarak protesters, and they were so badly beaten that they also both spent the night in a hospital before they were released. Reuters had a television crew beaten in downtown Cairo. They were working on a piece about the stores, the banks that had to close when they were just flat out attacked. ABC News. They had a group of guys that carjacked and threatened to behead one of the crew members. So you had a producer, a cameraman, and 2 other ABC types that were running around. Wow, that's scary. And that's something that you didn't see in Egypt for a very long time. What, we're talking peace 31 plus years, and there's no end in sight so far to this. Hey, coming up next, we're going to lighten the load. Guitar riffs. Think of the 50 best. What would you say the best guitar riff of all time is? We're talking about it next.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized the Renaissance Charge Conference Workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
They all laughed when I told them my body cleansing tonic was tea. But after 10 days, my body feels way more energized, and I've lost nearly 15 pounds. They're not laughing now.
That's what John from Oklahoma said about Life Change Tea.
In the 6 months of being on the tea, all my digestive problems have cleared up. My energy levels have gone way up, and my constipation problems are no more.
And that's what Michelle from California said about Life Change Tea from GetTheTea.com, the amazing all-natural tea that cleanses your body from toxins, chemicals, bacteria, viruses, and molds, while helping to lower high blood pressure, high cholesterol, lower blood sugar levels, and help you lose weight. Life Change Tea has no caffeine and is all natural, all organic. Go to GetTheTea.com today or call 928-308-0408. That's GetTheTea.com or call 928-308-0408.
Life Change Tea really changes things.
Finally, it's here. Do you believe it? I'm kind of sad because I'm such a football hound. Here we are, the big game, Super Bowl, Pittsburgh and Green Bay, the two left standing. Is it going to live up to the hype? And there's always hype for the Super Bowl. And, you know, it's got the ice in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for all the people who are rolling in to come see this thing, so it's just absolutely crazy. The Buddha is with us, Steve Budin, joining us all season long, giving us great advice, talking about the odds and some of the stuff that has happened during the season. Steve, how crazy that it's colder in Dallas than it is in Green Bay or it is in Pittsburgh, at least for the past couple days anyway.
I mean, I think they're going to start having it in Miami every year, and I don't think anyone's going to complain.
I agree. See, I understand why the owners want the Super Bowl to come to their area and all the money that gets pumped in, but I'm with you. I'm all about the warm weather places, Tampa, Miami, San Diego, any of the – even New Orleans is a lot warmer usually than what you're seeing. Remember we had that Super Bowl in Detroit, and now it's going to Indianapolis next year. I mean, yeah, it's in a dome, but people are going to freeze.
Yeah, they're talking about New York, I think, the year after, which is like, you know what, keep a New Year's Eve in Times Square, but let the Super Bowl be somewhere else. New Yorkers need a place to go vacation.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. So the odds makers, when they first set this thing up, do you think they got it right between the Steelers and Green Bay?
You know, I don't. I really don't. I'm not the guy to step out on the line, you know, for the Super Bowl just because it's the Super Bowl for the players. Obviously, this is the pinnacle of their season. You know, even possibly for some of them, the biggest game of their careers. But for gamblers, you know, Kate, when you got your money on a game, every game is the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I'm not really one to say, hey, bet more on this game than you would normally just because it's a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yet I'm releasing probably my biggest Super Bowl release in 3 years because I think the odds makers got it all wrong. I've seen this line. It's creeping up to 3 now. According to the public, this game, they don't even need to play it. It's over already. It's only Green Bay. And all you hear from all, I mean, you hear all of them, the ex-coaches, the ex-players. This is the most drawn-out, over-listened-to, over-analyzed, you know, game that you have all year because you have 2 weeks to talk about it. And everyone's saying the same thing. You know, Green Bay younger, Green Bay faster, Green Bay too good in a climate-controlled dome on the turf. You know, but the Steelers are a stronger team, mentally and physically. And you know what else? I would point to the sign on my backyard that says, beware of the dog, because when the Steelers are the dog this year 4 times, they've been the dog 3-1. They win outright 3 times out of the 4. And and they've been underdog in the last 3 years 10 times. They've won 8 out of those 10 times, and in the last 9 Super Bowls, 7 out of the last 9 winners have been the dog. So I'm going to stay barking with the dog here, take the points with the Steelers, and hey, the Steelers could lose the game, and you still might win if you're the better.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And it's interesting because you've been touting, really you have been touting the Steelers from the very beginning. When Ben Roethlisberger was suspended, then he came back in. You said, hey, watch the Steelers. I think in the end, you know, the Steelers.
I told everybody to take the 15-1 in week 3. They'd be sitting very pretty. And you know what? I'd tell them to hedge if that was the case. But if you haven't, if you didn't do that, you know, getting 3 points here with the Steelers, I just think it's too good to pass up. And I'd even say buy the extra half a point at this point. You know, you got one game left. You want to take the best chance possible to go into the off season with a good taste in your mouth. Don't let a half a point, you know, don't end this game on a push. It's like kissing your sister.
I like that analogy. It's like kissing your sister. The over-under, what do you say there? Sometimes people just go for that, you know?
You know, a little bit, you know, in these games, it's hard to find value because it's being bet for 2 weeks, so the lines are usually very sharp. But again, I think this total's a little low. I think either one of these teams could score 45 points on their own. I think they're going to throw the run out right about at the 2 minutes gone into the first quarter. And I think they'll be just passing on each other all night long. And I think the reason why the total's so low is because 4 out of the last 5 Super Bowls have gone under. So people are kind of gun-shy about betting the over in Super Bowls. So I think that 45, I think, is definitely a low total. I would go over there. And as far as the game goes, another key to the game in Pittsburgh, just to, you know, over-talk about it like everyone else, is did you notice the hit on Aaron Rodgers by Julius Peppers in the last game? You know what?
Yeah.
I would bet dollars to donuts that he had a minor concussion, and obviously they're not going to report that. But, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, it's hard enough to knock him down, let alone knock him out. How many times does he get sacked with just a bunch of guys, like, doing the horror around him, but they can't even get him down? They just throw the flag and stop the play because they can't get the guy on the ground. I think the Steelers, you know, somebody we haven't heard from, Troy Polamalu, in the last few games has really been, you know, quiet. Not that he hasn't been, you know, effective. He hasn't really made a big play. I think if the Steelers are going to win the Super Bowl, they're going to have to get a big play from him. And they may sacrifice a long pass play just to, you know, put Aaron Rodgers on his seat.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I completely agree with you. And your analogy of it's a little bit low, absolutely. That's the first thing I thought when I saw that line, too. As you know, because you're talking about it, there's such a long time, the 2 weeks getting ready for it and all that. And I lived in Vegas, and always at any of the sports books, it generated excitement, I guess.
Because well, 2 weeks in Vegas is like 6 months anywhere else, because you know, nobody sleeps. You get every bit of every hour. Every hour is like it's like an episode of 24.
It is, no kidding. And they put all these crazy prop bets up. You and I mentioned that a little bit last week. It's always big with people. It's always big with the tourists that come in, not necessarily your regular guys.
Right, well,
maybe they might take some, but usually they don't play that. But it's big with people that just dabble.
Well, you know what? It's the last chance to dance. It's literally all the, you know, the action junkies that maybe bet football only or don't bet, you know, now until March Madness again, and then maybe the NBA playoffs and finals, you know, but their heavy betting, you know, concentrated betting is done during football, and that's 75% of gamblers anyway. You know, bookies know that, hey, listen, this is the last chance we're going to get these guys to bet football in a long time. Let's give them a bunch of extra bets and just rape them on the prices. You know, double up on the VIG, make them pay extra money. If something's a 5-1 shot, we'll only pay them 3-1. Who cares? They'll buy it. It's their last chance to dance. And I think that's what happens with the, you know, with the Mickey Mouse bets, like we call them. But, you know, there are a lot of interesting ones. I mean, if guys have a lot of fun with them, what I tell my customers is this: have fun, but don't over bet it. don't play more than so much on the props, where all of a sudden you need to push yourself into such a big bet on the game that now you've reached out further than you want to with your bankroll. You know,
yeah.
Have some fun, make some prop bets, but keep your eye on the prize, which is the game. And you want the most fun you're going to have for, you know, forgetting everything else for a second, is going to be watching the entire game and having a root the entire game. Why bet on the coin toss and have all your wad be, you know, doubled or gone before the game even starts? Not a smart, you know, policy.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. It was just like a week ago where you had Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, saying that, you know, forget it, I'm not worried about my salary, I'm going to just toss it all in if we can not have this lockout and come to an agreement with the players' union. And the players just scoffed at that. A lot of them did anyway. Do you think we're going to see a lockout here? Because I think we might.
Well, you know, what's really important, you know, we're always going to see lockouts. And the reason why we see lockouts is because the players' union have to make themselves important. If everything is fine and there's never a problem and there's never anything to fight about and there's never an argument, who needs unions?
Right.
They're not necessary.
Yeah.
So these guys need to for a certain, you know, and I understand the things that they're saying, and I think to a certain extent, you know, there has to be checks and balances. But I thought it was a nice, you know, gesture, you know, what he said. And what he said really was he's going to go into the negotiations with a certain spirit. And that spirit is, I want to do whatever I can to get a deal done. Now, the union right now, they can pretend that they're as strong as you know, as they want to pretend to be, but we also have seen the cracks with Cromartie, you know, and all the things going on with the players just saying, hey, let's get this done, it's only money, you know, this is our livelihood. All these comments came out, and you know what, there's no way to sweep them under the rug. So I think the owners could have taken a very aggressive position after that happened. They didn't. They're coming in and saying, we want to get it done. I think they'll get it done. And now listen, that doesn't mean that, you know, we don't miss a few weeks of preseason. We could very well. But I think by the time that the regular season starts, we'll have a deal. You know, this new thing that we heard, the players now, well, from the union, that they're not, there's no way they're going to have 18 games.
Sure.
That's a negotiating tactic.
Yeah.
They already agreed to that. They're going to have it. But, you know, they want to go in and negotiate backwards. And that's just a negotiating tactic. And that's what happens when you get closer and closer to sitting to the table.
Yeah, no kidding. Steve Budin, sportsinfo.com, the Buddha Man. It was so fun this season. And enjoy the game.
One last lock I'm going to give you before we go.
Okay.
I'm going to give you Pittsburgh Steelers in the first quarter plus a point. And I think what happens is that A-Rod comes in just a little bit starstruck, just a little bit overwhelmed by the scenario. It doesn't happen. It won't happen for him the whole game, obviously, or even too long. But I think it gives Pittsburgh a little bit of an edge.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines, it seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and begin to see a different world.
Hello folks, this is Steve Shank. This week we introduced a new product from eFoods Direct, corn chowder. And let me tell you, its homemade flavor is absolutely amazing. You know eFoods, we've brought you the best food on the planet for years. As you know, we pioneered a line of quick fix meals that are super easy to fix. Obviously, winter is upon us. You can save 20% on the wonderful soup and bakery special. It's a lot of food for less than a dollar a serving. It includes the new corn chowder I told you about and the other wonderful soups. It also includes the delicious cornbread muffins and buttermilk biscuits to go with the soup. So you have great food you can serve this winter or jumpstart your food savings account for the future. Saving 20%. Call 800-409-5633 on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex. That's 800-409-5633 or on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge. Stops costly pump outs and repairs and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
Welcome back to America Tonight. If you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know I'm all into rock and roll, all kinds of rock, too. Even a little bit, I have to confess, some heavy metal. And I got my favorites, there's no doubt, my favorite Axemen. So this is just perfect for this show. Jason Peirce joins us from AOL Music talking about the 50 greatest guitar riffs. Boy, that would be, this argument's going to span for at least a couple of shows here. Jason, thanks for hopping on with us.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Okay, when you set out to do this, you do have your own personal prejudice, so I'm just curious, prejudices. I'm just curious as to who your favorite guys are. Your, and it could be women, too. I shouldn't just leave the women out either. But who are your favorites? I call them Axemen, of course, but who are your favorites?
Well, you know, the funny thing is one of my absolute favorite guitarists of all time didn't even make the list. Pete Townsend is one of my all-time favorites, and he didn't even crack the top 50. So while this was a labor of love, it was also, it's a pretty painful experience in a lot of ways.
Yeah, no kidding. Set this up for us, the criteria. How do you – because it's tough. Like I said, we could spend lots of shows doing this, and I think – I would constantly get an argument back from somebody that I didn't really set up the right criteria. So what were the parameters of it?
Well, you know, the first is it good? Or, you know, more to the point, is it amazing? But there's also things like emotional impact and cultural significance. And in that respect, we tried to cast a pretty wide net so that we didn't end up with just, a list of 50 classic rock tunes. So, we wanted to get in some indie rock and some funk and some disco along with, the towering classics of guitar rock.
Yeah. The towering classics, do they win out more than some of the funk and the indie stuff? Did they make the list heavier or lighter?
Well, I mean, if you look at the top 10, it's a pretty classic rock roster. I mean, it's hard to argue with some of the top 10, and there isn't much in the way of new music. I mean, the most recent song in the top 10 is Enter Sandman by Metallica. Yeah, it's a fantastic riff, but, you know, it kills me. It's 20 years old.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this. This is fresh when I got out of school. I was a DJ, and I can remember playing that. I can remember how huge that was and how many people would request it. And it still floats around in your head, but you're right. That's some time ago, no doubt about it. How about females? Are females making the list anywhere in there?
If I'm not mistaken, I believe we had one, which is shameful. There are a lot of really amazing female guitar players. But not so many really amazing, or at least really well-known and amazing female riffmeisters, if you were. I mean, right. It would have been great to get somebody like Joni Mitchell on the list, who is one of the greatest guitar players ever to live. But I believe Carrie Brownstein of Sleater-Kinney, which is an indie rock band out of the Pacific Northwest, was on there at number 48, and I think she is the only woman on the list.
Wow. All right, so one woman makes it on the list. What's her name? Nancy Wilson from Heart.
No, although, you know, Barracuda was right on the cusp of making the list because the opening riff of Barracuda is fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. And seeing that live, I have to say, it still holds up. I don't care where, a smaller venue, whatever, it still really, really holds up. Okay, so you talked about Enter Sandman. That's number 10 on the list. A group that I used to love, and they were a little long in the tooth by the time I got around to them, but I thought they were still pretty good. The Kinks. The Kinks make the list. Where did they check in?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Kinks got pretty high. They're at number 6, You Really Got Me, which in a lot of ways is the first rock and roll, the first hard rock track. Some would even say it's one of the first punk tracks. Basically, it's a really simple riff. It's not complex at all. But what it lacks in complexity, it makes up for in kind of sheer, snotty rock anger. I mean, it's only 3 chords, and they slashed open their amplifier with a razor blade just to make it sound as bad and dangerous as they could.
Wow.
That's about as rock and roll as it gets.
Yeah, no kidding. When I think of, you know, if you say this to me, oh, greatest riffs of all time, I know part of the response I would get, I would probably get at least 5 or 6 people that would bring up Jimi Hendrix. So Jimi Hendrix, certainly with Voodoo Child, makes the list. Where did that check in?
Well, and this is probably where you're going to get the most controversy, because Jimmy isn't at number 1. He snuck in at number 2 with Voodoo Child's Slight Return. And even that is potentially controversial, because a lot of people will tell you, you got to be kidding, man. Purple Haze, man. Where's Purple Haze?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about Voodoo Child is not only is it kind of the guitar player's guitar riff, but the story behind it is amazing, because the cut that made the album, a TV crew came in and was filming them in the studio and literally asked the band, hey, can you guys look busy? So Jimmy just tore out kind of the classic version of that song on a whim just to make this TV crew have, just so this TV crew had something to look at.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I would think Purple Haze, too. I guarantee that's going to, you're going to, I'm going to have to do a couple of shows on this, I know it. How about the great Chuck Berry?
Oh, yeah, well, Chuck Berry's on there at number 5 with Johnny B. Goode. And it's another semi-controversial pick, because some people would argue that it's not a riff, it's a vamp. And it gets into all kinds of crazy musicological terminology that, frankly, sometimes goes a little over my head. But Johnny B. Goode comes in at number 5, and, you know, it's easy to explain why. It's kind of one of the truly seminal rock and roll tracks. It's one of the songs that gave birth to rock and roll as we know it.
Yeah, no kidding. I still can't go to a hockey game and not hear somewhere, back in black, and that Back in Black made it, ACDC. I'm a terrible singer. I'd never be on Idol or any of those shows, but Back in Black makes it.
Yeah, they came in at number 8. And, you know, there's a bunch of, in researching this, you got a lot of very interesting and surprising stories. And the Back in Black story is great because, you know, they almost threw it away. Malcolm Young was going to trash the tape that had the Back in Black riff on it. And his brother convinced him, don't throw it out. And years later, they ended up pulling it out after their original lead singer died, and they turned the track into a tribute to Bon Scott.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's a good little tidbit. How about and going from extremes, from AC/DC to the Beatles. So what song do the Beatles make it in there with?
Well, the Beatles are a tough one because, you know, like Led Zeppelin and like Jimi Hendrix, they're a band that came up with a lot of amazing riffs. But kind of the most recognizable, one of the greatest opening portions of any rock and roll song is Day Tripper. So Day Tripper came in at number 11. And it's just kind of a great example of the interplay between John Lennon and George Harrison at the height of their powers and the height of their creativity. And, you know, let's face it, it's a classic song.
Yeah, no kidding. Somebody that I don't think made it into the top 10, and looking at it, somebody I saw a bunch in concert, Eric Clapton. What happened to Slowhand?
Well, the funny thing is, Slowhand is on the list twice, and he didn't come up with either riff that he's on the list for. Which is really weird. So, you know, he's on there for a Cream track where the bassist came up with the riff. And he's on there for Layla, but Dwayne Allman came up with the riff. So Slowhand is playing two of the greatest riffs of all time, Sunshine of Your Love, which is number 12, and Layla, which I think was at 23 or somewhere in there. Anyway, so he's on there twice. And he didn't come up with either riff, even though he's arguably the greatest living guitar player.
Yeah, no kidding. How about, I know that I would get calls on this too. Motley Crue doesn't make it anywhere in there? Or they do?
No, that was a tough one. Motley Crue's not on the list. And, you know, they had a couple songs that could have made it. I think the only kind of glam metal band that does make it, and they wouldn't want to be called glam metal, but the only band that is on there from that kind of genre is Guns N' Roses at number 7 with Sweet Child of Mine.
Yeah. When you tried to come up with number 1, first of all, tell us who number 1 was and how you arrived at that.
Well, number 1 is Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones. And coming up with number 1 was actually the easiest part of the entire process because the entire feature came about. I was in the car with my fiance. Satisfaction came on. I turned to her and said, you know, this has got to be the greatest guitar riff of all time. And she turned to me and said, I think you just wrote your next article. So it was the easiest number one anybody's ever reached because that's where I started.
Yeah, no kidding. In doing the research and coming up with all this, did you just go roll back and hang out and listen to these tracks? Were you listening to a whole – you must have been listening to a ton of tracks, or did you just – do a bunch of research and listen to some of them? How'd you do that?
Well, I started by spending a full weekend sitting in front of my record shelves with my headphones on. Mm-hmm. So I have to say, in terms of researching a piece, this is about as much fun as I've ever had.
No
because
kidding.
All I did was spend 48 hours listening to my records and, you know, falling in love all over again with rock and roll.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding. I mean, just a fascinating article. Interesting stuff, and I know we're going to be talking about this a lot. Everybody listening, come up with your favorite guitar riff. Let's see what you have to say, America. And Jason Peirce, thanks so much for sharing this with us from AOL Music. Good stuff. What a great subject. Again, must have been so much fun, like you were just describing. Did it take you back to a lot of memories?
Oh, it did indeed. And, you know, it made some new ones. I mean, it made me a bigger Chuck Berry fan. And you can't ask for anything better than that.
Yeah, I agree. What a place to end. Jason, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeSig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeSig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeSig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeSig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeSig.com. That's LeSig.com. LeSig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeSig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LeSig.com. LeSig, for today's modern smoker.
What bothers you most about menopause? Is it the hot flashes? Waking up at night drenched in sweat? How about the mood swings or putting on weight? Tens of thousands of women have turned to Amberen to get relief from their menopause symptoms. Will Amberen work for you too? The only way to find out is to give it a try. That's why we're giving every woman who calls today a complimentary risk-free trial of Amberen with a 30-day supply free. Amberen is all natural, and its safety and effectiveness is backed by published clinical studies. Do you want a life without hot flashes, night sweats, or mood swings? Want to lose weight, sleep great, and have more energy? We've made trying Amberen completely risk-free, and you get a 30-day supply free. All you have to do is make the call. To claim your complimentary risk-free trial of Amberen, visit GetAmberen.com or call 1-800-647-9277. That's 1-800-647-9277. 1-800-647-9277.
No attorneys to plead my case. No lawyers to send me into outer space. At my fingers, I'll be true with diamonds and gold. But that ain't gonna help me now. I'm in trouble, in trouble now. I'm in trouble now. I deserve my life now. I'm in trouble, in trouble now.
Yeah, so what do you think? Best guitar riffs of all time. I thought that was interesting. You can catch that article and that list, by the way. Easy to find it. It's on AOL.com. If you go to AOL.com and it's in their music section, Jason's a writer for them, as I mentioned at the top. And you heard how he kind of stumbled onto the idea of doing the article. And I think it's one of those things that nobody's going to disagree on everything. However, I think there were a lot of people that were left off, and so do some of you. A lot of you have been chatting me up and talking about some of the best riffs of all time. You have to remember, it's riffs and not just the guitarists, which that's part of the argument here. It's not, okay, well, I said Barracuda, and I said Nancy Wilson of Heart, but of course Barracuda, you know, is what I'm thinking. You know, at the top. And that's, I think that's a recognizable, great riff that would somewhere be on the list. I'm not saying top 10, but somewhere on that list of 50, it would pop up. Van Halen, there wasn't Eddie Van Halen prominently featured. I think that he would have been. And then I was thinking Smoke on the Water. Smoke on the Water made the list, but I would have moved it further up. You got to check out that list. You have to check out the list. Now, I'm going to give you the top 10 to make sure, because I kind of cherry-picked it with him, but I want to make sure that everybody knows what he picked out as the top 10. Here's what he said. You heard me mention that. I can't get no satisfaction. Rolling Stones, of course, 65. That's the number one song. Voodoo Child, Jimi Hendrix. That was number two. That came out in 68. Black Sabbath's Iron Man. That's 1970. Recognizable. Heartbreaker, Led Zeppelin, 69. Johnny B. Goode. You heard him talk about Chuck Berry and getting a new appreciation for him. That was 1958. You Really Got Me. The Kinks, 64. That's six. So we're up to seven if you're following along. Seven, Sweet Child of Mine. Guns N' Roses, that makes sense if you think of the riff there. 87, Back in Black, recognizable. I talked about it being played at a lot of sporting events. I hear it all the time when I'm in rinks. So that's AC/DC, 1981. Money for Nothing, Dire Straits, 85. Enter Sandman, we talked about that. That is number 10, 91. And then just for fun, I'll throw this in. Day Tripper, The Beatles, 1965. And it's the 50 greatest guitar riffs of all time. I think that there were some people left off. And I think you have to expound upon that a little bit further, though. When you come up with names like I was doing, I was trying to think, well, who else would I have put on there? You got to remember, you have to think of the chords. You have to think of what it is you think should have been there, not just, oh, you know, so-and-so was great. They had this song and that song. You know, we're talking, that's why he said Joni Mitchell. We're talking specifically about riffs. And I think there's some that should have been moved up in the list. I think there's some that missed the list that should have really been on the list. And in fact, I kind of put a couple of people down. Jerry Garcia, Eric Clapton, although he did make it. Jimmy Page. What else did I write right here? As soon as I was done talking to him, I thought, I can think of a few more that need to be on here. I would have put Fire in the Sky. I would have put Little Wing, Stevie Ray Vaughan. Someone suggested that to me, too. Somebody wrote me a note about that. Ted Nugent, Stranglehold. I would have put that on there. I would have put, definitely would have put Ted Nugent. I scratched that one out. I don't know, Sunday Bloody Sunday. Would you put that on the list? That would make the top 50. Not the top 10, but the top 50. I think it's interesting to think about that, because all of us can relate to that. Even if you're not a huge music fan, I always say this, everybody has tunes that you turn up when you get in the car, you know what I mean? You might have heard it 100 times, you probably have it on an iPod somewhere, you have it all, you know, easy, convenient, you can play it whenever you want to, but yet, when you get in the car, or you're in a certain situation, and the song comes on, you crank it. And a lot of the songs have those guitar riffs. It could have been spoiled, perhaps, when you look at video games. You know, Guitar Hero. So maybe that kind of messes with you a little bit when you're thinking of guitar riffs. But I thought it was fascinating to delve into that. If you want to add to it, shoot it to me at americatonight.net. Throw it on the chat. Or certainly you can give us a call, too, 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. At the beginning of this hour, we were talking about Egypt and how off the rails things have become now. Israel concerned that there's going to be another Islamic terror state that will emerge, because you'll see signs. There were signs of Mubarak with a giant Star of David on his head that was posted all over the place. And the Muslim Brotherhood is a fundamentalist group now, kind of standing shoulder to shoulder with the handful of Christians and other people that are protesting. But who takes over and what happens moving forward? And I don't blame Israel for being concerned. We're talking about Iran having a nuke by next year. That conversation's been going on for a while. I mean, come on, Ahmadinejad hates America, but hates Israel even more, thinks that the Holocaust was invented. Give me a break. That's the motherlode of pathetic conspiracies. So I don't blame Benjamin Netanyahu or anyone else in Israel for being very worried by what they're seeing going on in Cairo, in Alexandria, you know, all over Egypt. Really, Cairo is ground zero. And then you have the news crews being threatened that we talked about. That's not good, because usually there's where the hands-off comes in. There have been incidents. Remember Daniel Pearl, and he was beheaded. And you think here he was writing for the Wall Street Journal. But remember, he went after a story and then was missing and whatnot. And there have been journalists who have been killed, who've been in the line of fire, all that sort of stuff. But this is just flat out, we don't care. We're stopping you. We clubbed a couple of you. Some of them are in the hospital, and all kinds of journalists, from the photojournalists to the writers to the bigger crews and the smaller crews. It doesn't matter. They just didn't seem to care whatsoever. There was no, okay, they're covering this, and, you know, they have press, because you wear the flak jackets, and it's obvious you're press. And they didn't go around them. Instead, they went after them. And then you wonder, okay, so who went after them? Were they shaken down by the Mubarak thugs or by the Muslim Brotherhood revolutionary, I'll call them revolutionary guys screaming in the street? I mean, who was it ultimately in these incidents that went after them? And you look at Egypt, and I can't blame, as I was talking about, Israel for being concerned, because democracy is not going to happen lickety-split if there is so-called democracy in Egypt. So the peacefulness of what that state was, what that country was, now will change. And I've had a couple of people email me this. Okay, let's talk about it. What is the Muslim Brotherhood? What are they about? Well, it's an Islamist group who... pretty much, if you look at some of the ties that they have links to other movements in a lot of the other Arab countries. And in the 20 years since it started, we've got about 500,000 people or so claiming to be part of that group. And the Brotherhood leaders, anyway, argue for economic reforms and social reforms and... given the freedom to choose, most in Egypt that are part of the group would embrace a form of Islamic law. So that's the thing. And the government in Egypt has denied the Brotherhood the right to form a political party, saying that the constitution, which the government wrote, bans religious parties. The Brotherhood says, you know, they're not going to seek recognition as a party under the procedures, which it rejects as authoritarian for... whatever that means. The bottom line is right now still chaos, and especially when they're going after press members. I mean, you know, enough that they're putting them in the hospital and almost killing them and threatening to behead one. That's scary, scary, scary stuff, friends.